Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Freakonomics 20th Anniversary Edition revisits Stephen D. Levitt and Stephen J. Dubner's influential work of Popular Economics, a book that helped redefine how general readers think about data, incentives, and everyday behavior. Rather than presenting economics as a study of markets, prices, or monetary policy, the book treats it as a practical toolkit for investigating why people act as they do. Levitt, an economist known for unconventional empirical research, and Dubner, a journalist with a clear narrative style, examines subjects such as cheating, crime, parenting, real estate, drug markets, and baby names. The book's purpose is not to build one unified economic theory, but to demonstrate how careful measurement can overturn common assumptions. The 20th Anniversary Edition underscores the book's continuing relevance as a landmark in data-driven nonfiction, while also inviting readers to consider both the appeal and the limitations of bold conclusions drawn from social data. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, incentives is the central explanation for unexpected behavior. The core idea of Freakonomics is that incentives shape behavior in ways that are often hidden beneath moral explanations, official narratives, or social expectations. Levitt and Dubner treat incentives broadly, including financial rewards, social approval, shame, fear of punishment, professional reputation, and personal conscience. This range allows them to analyze behavior outside conventional economic settings. A schoolteacher, a sumo wrestler, a real estate agent, or a street-level participant in an illegal market can all be studied through the same basic question: what outcome is the person being rewarded or punished for pursuing? The book's reasoning is powerful, because it shifts attention from what people say they value to what their situation actually encourages them to do. If performance metrics create pressure, some people may manipulate results. If experts control information, they may use that advantage for themselves. This approach does not assume that people are perfectly rational, but it does assume that incentives make certain choices more likely. The result is a practical lens for interpreting behavior that otherwise seems irrational, hypocritical, or surprising. Secondly, data as a tool for challenging conventional wisdom. Freakonomics is built around the claim that conventional wisdom is often persuasive because it is repeated, not because it is correct. Levitt and Dubner use data analysis to question explanations that feel obvious, especially when those explanations are supported by experts, institutions, or media narratives. The book's method is to ask a sharply framed question, identify measurable evidence, and compare the evidence against the dominant story. This is why its chapters often begin with unusual comparisons, such as the connection between teachers and sumo wrestlers, or the relative dangers associated with different household risks. The point is not eccentricity for its own sake. The authors argue that surprising questions can reveal patterns that ordinary categories conceal. Data becomes useful when it is paired with a clear sense of what should be measured and why. The book also shows that measurement can expose gaps between public perception and actual risk, between professional claims and private incentives, or between moral assumptions and observed outcomes. Its lasting influence comes from making empirical skepticism accessible without requiring technical training. Thirdly, information asymmetry and the power of experts. One of the book's most durable themes is information asymmetry, the imbalance that occurs when one party in a transaction knows much more than the other. Levitt and Dubner argue that experts can use specialized knowledge not only to help clients, but also to protect their own interests. The discussion of real estate agents is a well-known example. An agent may appear fully aligned with a seller, yet the agent's commission structure can create pressure to close a sale quickly rather than hold out for a higher price. The broader point applies beyond housing. Doctors, mechanics, consultants, financial advisors, and many other specialists may occupy positions where clients cannot easily evaluate advice. Freakonomics does not claim that experts are inherently dishonest. Instead, it asks readers to look at the incentives created by unequal information. When a person controls both interpretation and recommendation, the opportunity for self-serving guidance increases. This topic gives the book practical relevance because it helps readers understand why transparency, comparison, second opinions, and better data can reduce dependence on authority alone. Fourthly, crime, causality, and the controversy of distant causes. Freakonomics became especially famous and controversial for its treatment of crime. The book examines why violent crime in the United States fell sharply in the 1990s and argues that widely cited explanations did not fully account for the decline. Levitt and Dubner discuss policing, incarceration, drug markets, demographics, and other factors. But the most disputed claim involves the possible long-term relationship between legalized abortion and later crime rates. This argument illustrates one of the book's central principles: dramatic effects can have distant and subtle causes. It also illustrates the risk of the book's approach. Social outcomes are shaped by many overlapping forces, and causal claims about morally charged topics require exceptional care. The chapter is important, not simply because of its conclusion, but because it shows the tension between provocative data analysis and the complexity of public life. Readers learn how empirical reasoning can challenge comfortable stories, while also seeing why statistical arguments need context, replication, and humility. This is where the book's strengths and limitations are most visible. Lastly, parenting, names, and the limits of direct control. The book's chapters on parenting and baby names examine how much influence parents can realistically exert over children's outcomes and social identity. Rather than treating parenting advice as a set of direct causal rules, Levitt and Dubner look at measurable factors associated with educational and life outcomes. Their analysis suggests that who parents are, including education, socioeconomic background, and broader home environment, may matter more than many specific techniques promoted in popular parenting culture. The discussion of names extends this interest in social signals. Names can reflect class patterns, cultural change, aspiration, and group identity, but the book is careful to distinguish correlation from simple causation. A name may reveal something about a child's background without independently determining the child's future. These sections are less sensational than the crime material, but they are central to the book's intellectual style. They encourage readers to separate symbols from causes and to be cautious about advice that promises easy control over complex human development. The practical lesson is that observed patterns require interpretation, not just counting. In conclusion, Freakonomics 20th Anniversary Edition is best suited for readers who want an accessible entry into economic reasoning, data analysis, and the study of incentives without reading a technical textbook. It will appeal to students, professionals, policy observers, and general readers who enjoy counterintuitive questions about crime, education, parenting, markets, and social behavior. Its practical benefit lies in training readers to ask better questions: who benefits, what is being measured, what incentives are operating, and whether the accepted explanation is supported by evidence. Its intellectual benefit is more methodological than doctrinal. The book does not provide a comprehensive theory of society, and some of its most famous arguments remain debated, especially where complex social causes are compressed into striking conclusions. Compared with similar popular nonfiction, it stands out for combining empirical economics with journalistic pacing and memorable examples. Malcolm Gladwell and behavioral economics writers often emphasize narratives, psychology, or cultural tipping points. Levitt and Dubner emphasize incentives, measurement, and hidden causal structures. The book remains distinctive because it made data analysis feel investigative, almost detective-like, while bringing economic tools into subjects that previously seemed far outside the field. Readers should approach it with curiosity and skepticism, using it less as a final authority than as a model for disciplined questioning. If you would like to support Stephen D. Levitt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.